So, Gwen, I think it's only natural that you should introduce this episode.
Oh, my God. We're doing a Wurzstraminer. I have to be honest, though. We're drinking one that I know and two that I don't. And the two that I don't, I think, are medium sweet.
Okay. Why do you think that, Gwen?
Because we Googled them. I'm curious about them because I think they're maybe more a classic Gewürztraminer.
So I think Gewürztraminer, we've talked about it on a few episodes before already, obviously being one of your favourite grape varieties. So what do we expect from Gewürztraminer?
Big.
So Gewürztraminer obviously produces very aromatic wines. So
absolutely. The typical Gewürztraminer smells, which are going to be, you say,
lychee,
I say lychee. Rose petals.
Rose petals, yeah, it has a very heady perfume, quite intense, it's exotic and perfumed. I always think of Turkish Delight, and then I'm travelling through to maybe Thailand.
Actually, now I'm having this, like, I wonder whether Gewürztraminer's heyday has anything to do with this sort of smell profile, that what was popular and what was in fashion.
I mean,
when
it could
be. When was Gewürztraminer last in fashion?
I mean, probably before I was born.
Yeah, I was going to say probably in our grandparents' time. You know, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I can totally see this as a... like roaring 20s, 1930s smelling.
Yes, I think you're painting the nicer, the prettier side of.
I think of Art Deco. Yeah. I think of, you know, this sort of days gone by. Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe, she'd be drinking Gewürztraminer, or maybe she would smell like Gewürztraminer.
Sette Barra, you know, like maybe, yeah. Some femme fatales of years gone by.
It does have a smell of nostalgia because it's quite musky. And I think also the thing that, I guess the reason why I'm always slightly critical.
Sure.
Say slightly, being optimistic with that word, is because obviously the tendency for Gewürztraminer to be very flabby, you know, it's a great variety that unless it's really picked early and at the right time, it can very quickly become a wine or produce a wine that is very low in acidity, very high in alcohol, very aromatic. So even from a food point of view, it's quite difficult sometimes to pair with it because it's kind of the opposite of what we look for when we're pairing wines. We're looking for wines that have really good acidity, that especially today everybody's focusing on low alcohol wines. This could not be more out of trend than it is today in some ways.
That's why I'm kind of glad today that we're doing one drier style and a couple of medium sweet, because maybe this is a great intro to Gewürztraminer to sort of lay the groundwork.
All right, we're putting the foundations down today.
Part two.
For part two and part three.
Because I think we can do, I think these are might be an example of maybe what it was, and I think there are some great examples of what it can be and what it will be in the future.
The other thing to point on as well, obviously because this struggle that a lot of winemakers have between acidity level and alcohol level and balance in the wines, because they very quickly become unbalanced with Gewürztraminer, is obviously that it's a little bit sometimes the same thing we see in Riesling, and I'm not in any way saying Gewürztraminer is the same grape as Riesling at all, but in terms of this decision of sugar, residual sugar and acidity, because we want to not ferment the wine fully so the alcohol does not reach too
high.
We've got this residual sugar, and then picking it at the right time so we still preserve the acidity. Actually, when you try a very well-made Gewürztraminer, you can really respect the winemaker.
Absolutely.
I think it's very difficult.
Technical and difficult to get it just right.
So because of this, it's a great variety that needs...
Attention
and also a cooler climate because it's very quickly ripening. So Gewürztraminer, also known as
Rotertraminer and Gelbertraminer
in Austria. Yeah, so we see Rotertraminer quite a lot in Germany as well.
And its much cooler cousin gets all the attention these days,
Sauvignon.
Everyone loves a Jura Sauvignon.
We'll revisit this at another time because I still feel like it's an unfair battle on Gewürztraminer. I feel like that's almost like my favourite grape versus your favourite. Not that it would be one of my favourite white grapes.
I think for me, Gewürztraminer is like the underdog for me. I think that's why I like it so much, because I love an underdog and I think it's one of the forgotten grapes and I think it shouldn't be forgotten. I think there's a time and a place for it. It's not for every occasion. It's not for every dish. It's not for every person, but I think it shouldn't be completely forgotten to the back dusty cobwebbed shelves of wine shops or your
grandma's. That's why you're buying more than the average person to get that average bottle spend up on Gewürztraminer.
Sure, but you know, I also like to just try things, so it's nice to just try different Gewürztraminers and see where they fit into my repertoire of pairing stuff with food or being able to enjoy it with friends. And I think there is a time and a place for everything, no matter how odd or how like potentially in the wrong moment can be awful or sickening or too sweet or too whatever, in the right moment can shine. So like, where can we make Gewürztraminer shine today?
I totally get that. We've got a nice lineup of wines, and particularly the first wine that we've already got in our glasses. So from Hummel, Villani Tramini, Gewürztraminer 2015. Villani, I'm probably completely bastardizing this. So this is, I'm assuming this is the area. That's what we both came to terms of. And then Tramini maybe being the local word for Gewürztraminer. Right. We've had Hummel on before, the rosé, which unfortunately got really... It was a proper roast of that wine. Yeah. They really got burnt.
This is one that I actually quite like. I buy quite often.
And I have to say, this is where I step over into your...
On my camp. I think it's a great... I think this is a really... So let's give it, first of all, what
so
we
obviously
smell.
The colour, like Gewürztraminer always has a slightly dark colour. It's like Pinot Grigio or Pinot Gris. It has a slightly pink skin. So the wines tend to have a little bit of a darker colour, sometimes even like a copper colour to them.
It smells delicious already. Also super perfumed.
I mean, this for me is textbook Gewürztraminer, totally. Because it does have this rose petal, almost orange blossom aromatic profile, and then this very exotic fruit behind it.
Totally, I agree with you. But it's nice because the viscosity, it's not super thick. It's
the only one that's made it through. It's this lovely freshness actually to the wine.
Yeah.
The wine is very balanced, even though it is slightly oily.
Yes.
And very aromatic.
Totally.
You have this almost like mineral freshness. So I actually really respect Hummel for this wine because I think it's a really well-made wine.
I mean, we've had this before at your house with ice cream.
Yes. And well, it extended through from tagine to ice cream.
And I think it works in both categories with the dried fruit in tagine.
Yeah.
I mean, the acidity is not crazy high, so I think you have to be careful with it.
The floral aromatics and this slight touch of residual sugar with anything with a bit of spice in, it's nice.
Yeah, like a biryani or something.
But I also think everybody thinks Indian food with Gewürztraminer. Yeah, that's why I think Middle Eastern food is...
But Middle Eastern also works, but I think... I don't know if I would put it with every Indian dish. But no. I think for me, I think like particularly the dishes with dried fruit in them. Like I think a rice dish would be really nice with this. Rice and dried fruit, some nut... Also, like, with a baklava or something would be if you're just having, like, a sort of afternoon tea and you want to have a glass of wine with some pastries, I think would also work. I really love this one. I think it's a go from day to night, go from mains to dessert. But the acidity is not crazy high on this one.
No, of course, not compared to Rieslings or things like that. But I think the whole wine is in balance.
I really like this one.
Yeah, it's very easy drinking and it's relatively inoffensive.
That's a big compliment.
I'm not being probably so fair with saying that, but I think it's a really well-made wine, represents a great variety very well.
I mean, this is definitely one of the wines from Hummel that made me fall in love with them as a winemaker.
The cicadas are coming in. We're actually in Australia when we're recording this.
Hot summer night.
If we make it through, get ready. So, the next wine that we're trying is Langenmoser Gewürztraminer, coming from the AOC of Zurich. And the smaller area is called Trutikon, which very much looks like Fruticon on the label.
The bloody text looks, whatever typeface
they 2015, use. I should say, sorry.
Not Brullen. Yeah. Whoever's done the typeface for this has made the T look like an F. Attached to the R. It's
very nice, very much like the Shire from The Hobbit, isn't it?
It's very sweet.
It's very endearing.
I bought it in Zurich because, you know, you can't really get, I reckon you probably cannot get Zurich wines so much outside of Zurich. I bought it because a friend of mine that I was going to go eat dinner with, he said he was going to make Middle Eastern lamb. So it's one of the reasons I bought it, because we were going to do Eastern food, lamb, snacks. And I bought it and he ended up switching last minute, so I kept it, brought it home.
Okay.
And I think he also turned his nose up a tiny bit at the idea of me bringing a Gewürztraminer.
Sounds shocking, Gwen. Who would do that?
I know, so shocked. But anyway, I'm glad we have it now because...
It's interesting, the nose, because obviously 2015, it's 3 years of age.
Yeah.
So when we're smelling it, it's not necessarily an old wine, but it's starting to show a little bit of development there.
It's more like candied orange, like candied fruit.
But it's got this waxy and beeswax, honeyed, and this slight savoury.
Yeah, there's a little
earthy bit coming along in the background. Yeah. I don't want to say mushroomy, but it's on the way to starting to be more earthy. And I think as well, I mean, I haven't tried any super, super old Gewurztraminer. I mean, it's obviously they age, but maybe not in the same way other whites age. For me, this has almost like an enoki mushroom.
Yeah. Like the little tiny guys, right? Yeah.
The little tiny guys indeed. You know those enoki mushrooms, those little tiny guys.
Nice try, those little tiny guys. But it definitely, for me, I mean, this has got a little Christmassy. Come on, it's got a Christmas vibe.
Well, I associate Turkish delight with Christmas because for some reason that was the only time my family seemed to buy it. When I taste it on the palate, you get this smokiness coming through.
Yes. You know what?
Which you see in Riesling sometimes as well.
This would be really good also with blue cheese, like even with Stilton and I think that mustiness at the end.
Gorgonzola dolce, so it's like not too blue, but it's a bit sweet at the same time. You know, like it's very easy to just go, Asian food. It works really well because like Thai food, so aromatic.
Yeah. But I don't think this one screams Asian to me.
I think Japanese could be interesting.
Japanese because of the sort of savoury, you know? But also I think cheeses, Italian.
Not too fatty though, because the acidity's not quite
high enough to cut through. Right.
And I think this could be interesting with the right sort of cheese.
Yeah, I think
something a little bit funky, something from Alsace.
I have to say that for me, that's the first thing that jumps out at me, is this would be an amazing cheese wine. Because there's enough of that sort of like musty cheese basement smell and taste that I think it would be strong enough
it's
to sit
musky, but also a little bit musty.
Yes, it has a bit of a basement feel. But I think that would sit really well alongside a lot of aged cheeses or a lot of funky cheeses, and I think you'd end up with a lot more of the fruit.
What I like about this is obviously it's got more residual sugar, which we've been unable to obtain the information for because there's no information of it on the internet. So if the producer ever listens to this, please put some information out there, because your website's extremely unhelpful from a consumer's point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really difficult. This is actually quite a surprise, I'm going to say.
No. The only thing I would say is, sorry, if I got it in a blind tasting, this wine, I might possibly think that it could be a little bit older than it is.
Really?
Would you assume 3 years of age?
No, I would think older.
Five or six, maybe? When you compare the two, the Hummel is showing a much more youthful expression of the grape variety.
Totally.
I mean, it's showing much more developed.
Certainly. I mean, the fact that they're the same, you're saying the same year.
Yeah, they're both 15.
Which is crazy to think that one is...
That's where I feel like this is more developed, the one that we're trying now, because they're both 15. The Hummel, very, very youthful. The colours are very different.
Do you think that's then just a case of the way it's being aged? Like one is getting more access to oxygen and the other one isn't? Or is it just a case of warmer climate versus cooler climate?
Well, I don't think it's a case of how it's been aged. I mean, obviously, the Hummel is screw cap, the other one is cork. So we could argue the question of, is the cork completely perfect?
Right.
Or we could look at it and say, is it also, like they're coming from two different regions. We're trying one from Hungary, from a particular region, we're trying one from Zurich. Maybe it was a really tough vintage. Maybe there was some rot. Maybe there were some raisin grapes in this one and it's developed differently.
But actually, you know, it's funny. On the first sip, I wasn't super jazzed about it, but it's definitely growing on me.
It's growing on me. I don't think it's super complex.
No, but I think it's growing on me.
If attitude in the two, number one.
I'd probably still, drink the Hummel one.
So, the last wine that we have today, also Gwen's selection. She actually chose three Gewurztraminers that we're trying.
But this one I also haven't tried. So,
what are we trying, Gwen?
We're having an Alsace Grand Cru, Sayering, Dirler Cadet. You know, it's a...
Dirler Cadet,
Gewurztraminer 2016. And it does say that it is a Molu, medium sweet.
Yeah.
So we're going to expect it to have a fair amount of residual sugar. Not super sweet, but definitely...
37 grams of residual sugar. We look at sugar and I think we all have different versions of what that actually means. But I think particularly in, say, French wine or French culture, it's very common if you go to France to have a wine like this that's Molu, to have that as an aperitif as well.
Yeah. I mean, I bought it because it's a definitely more classic version of a Gewurztraminer, which is something I'm not necessarily drawn to. But I thought it would be interesting... for this episode.
Yeah, brilliant.
That we have some actual proper Gewurztraminers before we head into wild and free Gewurztraminer territory.
And I think looking at the colour as well, again here, like compared to the Swiss Gewurztraminer that we had before that almost had this pink hue to it, we're back in these sort of more...
clear.
No, lemonies, a little bit of gold, Interestingly, obviously we can't pull up any information on the Swiss wine, but the first and third wine are both organic.
Right.
And I believe this is
probably
Demeter as well.
Is it also?
Yes, it says EcoSert, but there's also a little Bio Van sign on there as well.
I honestly cannot remember where I bought this one.
This is from Viniculture.
Is it Viniculture? Okay. Yeah. Sometimes I stockpile the Gewurztraminer, I can't remember where I bought it.
I get into a Gewurztraminer frenzy and everything totally. Goes out of my mind.
So what's actually funny with this one is I get a lot of like also fruit florals, but also citrus. White chocolate.
Yeah.
Weirdly.
Interesting. I had never...
Like a cocoa butter...
Yeah, I understand that. It does smell like white chocolate.
White chocolate. Mm. White chocolate, dried fruit, again.
Maybe it's just because you're used to eating like white chocolate covered strawberries or white chocolate covered apricots.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I like white chocolate. I think what I also really love about Gewurztraminer is there's this also like wet leafiness that happens with it. There are sometimes these like off-road...
Yeah, I can see that. Wet leaf.
Like wet leaf. Autumnal.
So obviously immediately when you try this you feel the sugar there. Ooh. But
there's enough acidity to balance it out, actually. It kind of works.
I think actually compared to the wine before, like you're feeling the acidity really coming totally. At the end. This particular wine for me could be really interesting if you put that with the right dish or the right cheese.
Yeah,
it could be very, very nice.
It's actually also,
this is the blue cheese wine.
Yeah, totally. I mean I think I didn't expect it to have that acidity
also
kick.
Because also blue cheese is this tang.
Yes,
well.
Yeah. This has a tang to it, tang, which I think I didn't expect at all.
Yeah. It's very nice to try a wine coming from Alsace, because I think when I think of Gewurztraminer, definitely the first place I think of is Alsace for that.
It's the classic region for Gewurztraminer.
And what I like about it there is a lot of the good producers do manage to find this balance between the sugar acidity. And acidity and alcohol as well.
I made a savory tartatin a while ago with apple and thyme, and I think this would probably also work with it, with balsamic vinegar. You could probably get away with it.
Yeah, I can see that. Oh, that's a nice pairing, actually.
Because actually there is a savouriness also to this. It's not totally sweet. It ends with a...
I like that herbal wet leaf thing that you said. There is totally that.
I think that's what makes it a little... I think if it didn't have that savoury element to it, it would be too much grandma's underpants.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I think with that little...
It's funny though, isn't it? In Europe, I think you're one of the only people I know that sort of champions this grape variety. But in Australia, it's very, very popular. Gewurztraminer. I knew a lot of people that were like... We were going to Attica for the first time, my old housemate, when I was working there. And the first thing he said was, can we get a Gewurztraminer? I was like, what the
you're
hell
like,
is
who
that?
Who are you?
I was like, who's drinking that? And it was not even from a place of judgment. It was just like, what is
who
that?
Is drinking that?
No, I think we've got a really nice, interesting lineup. If I had to choose how I drink them, Hummel for everyday Gewurztraminer drinking in a good entry point into it.
Yeah, totally.
This would be my second choice. I think this is a world-class
example
a medium-sweet wine. And it's a wine that has a very persistent, interesting length. And then the last one, I still don't know how I feel about it, because I feel like it's too developed for its age. That's all I would say. And I would love to try. But I'd also love to try more of that producer and try and get my head a little bit around it.
I think they do make other... Yeah. They do have a few other varietals. We just have to visit Zurich again and have
visit some producers.
But I definitely... This Alsace one is, for me, a little bit of a surprise. Also because it's a medium... sweet. I didn't actually think I'd like it, because I don't have a tendency to gravitate towards sweet wines. I don't love Gewurztraminer because it's generally sweet. I love dry versions of Gewurztraminer. So actually this is super interesting. So I think for myself, of course I love Hummel, but I actually think I'm going to put the Alsace Grand Cru at number one, because I think it's, for me, the most interesting. I think it's going to be Hummel number two for me, because I love an everyday Gewurztraminer.
Gotta keep sustaining that habit.
Not just for Sundays. And we have, of course. The Zurich one I also think is interesting, because I think there are lots of foods that I would pair it with. I think it would do really well with a lot of different dishes. So I think it might have more versatility than the other two in terms of what I find interesting. Yeah, the Saering. Dirle Cadet. It's a tough one, these like Alsace names, because you never know if you're supposed to say them Frenchy or German.
I would assume German. Sorry.
See, exactly.
I would assume French with the producer name, because the Cadet, we don't have the accents above the E there. The vineyard name looks German.
Yeah, totally,
but
right.
The producer is French.
Dirle Cadet.
Dirle Cadet.
Delicious, 2016.
If we're saying that wrong, let us know.
Here in Berlin, you can get the Alsace Grand Cru at Viniculture. You can get the Hummel at Planet Wine.
Also Köpenicker Weinladen also.
And the Gewurztraminer
wine, we have no idea.
You're going to have to go.
And actually in London, I'm not sure for any of these. So I'm sorry that I can't support on that. Gwen did the Gewurztraminer selection today.
Or you can find us via email at our website at juice.show. You can find us at Instagram at juice.podcast. You can find us on Twitter at
juice_podcast.
If you want a bag to fit, you know, I bet you those...
Those bags fit 8 bottles of wine.
Yeah, and I was going to say, if you're carrying these like long-ass Gewürztraminer bottles, I bet you can fit more.
I reckon you could do at least 9 or 10.
So that's the question. How many Gewürztraminer, skinny-ass Gewürztraminer bottles can you fit in a juice tote?
I think the real question is, Gwen, is how many bottles can your shoulder manage in the bag?
You'd be surprised. I can carry it. I'm like a wine camel. I can, like a wine mule.
Saddleback, yeah.
All right, join us next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.